Well, thank you very much. Thanks for attending, and that was an excellent presentation. I kind of feel bad having to follow it. It was great. It was really interesting, so I'll do my best. I am Pat Carr. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Rich Horsley, Glenn Martin, and Martin Hochhalter, all of us at North Dakota State University. Barley is a very important crop globally. In fact, if you look in 2012, for example, it was produced on almost 50 million hectares worldwide and over 120 million tons of grain were produced. About 10% of that total was grown in North America, and within the U.S., in all but two of the last many, many years, North Dakota has led the country in barley production. Well, if you go to North Dakota and the Northern Great Plains, I invite anyone who's never been to come. You're always welcome. There have been some trends that have been occurring now for the last several years. One is that there has been a move from conventional or clean-till methods to no-till methods. And in fact, it's estimated in places like western North Dakota now that if you look at annual crop production, about half of that is occurring under no-till. Coinciding with that is a move to more intensive cropping systems. Well, given these trends, I think it kind of begs the question, is a barley cultivar by tillage system interaction occurring? If it is, as we develop cultivars and make recommendations, should we be moving those tests onto no-till land? And conversely, should we no longer be trying to apply results from conventionally tilled land onto no-till? Actually, there have been researchers who have looked at this question, whether the tillage system by cultivar interaction exists in the past. A couple studies in North Dakota and Canada indicated that, in fact, an interaction did exist. A study in the Palouse, on the other hand, indicated that an interaction was not detected. But in all cases, these studies were conducted in tillage systems, and particularly no-till that had been in place for 1, maybe 2 years. So our objective was to determine if a tillage system by barley cultivar interaction existed in long-term tillage systems. To conduct this study, it was done from 2010 through 2013 across three different tillage systems: no-till, conventional till, and reduced till. And those tillage systems had been in place since 1993, the year after I arrived in Dickinson. So by the end of the study, as you can see, the tillage systems had been in place for 2 decades. The tillage systems were arranged in a randomized complete block as a split plot where they comprised the whole plots, and then barley cultivars comprised the subplots. There were 6 barley cultivars, 3 two-row types, Collin, Conrad, and Pinnacle, 3 6 row types, Lacey, Stellar ND, and Tradition. And there were several reasons for including those, but one was those were the most widely grown barley cultivars in the state, particularly for malt. You can see the subplot dimensions. In terms of the data that were collected, they included soil water content across the growing season in all whole plots, crop residue cover, again, across the whole plot treatments, and then within each subplot, we determined plant density at 15 to 21 days after seeding, spike emergence, and then later in the growing season, spike density, and grain yield and quality data. And those quality data included grain protein concentration, grain test weight, and plump kernel percentage. The data were analyzed using PROC mixed with NSAS. Now, looking at weather data, moving from the left to the right, those bars indicate growing season precipitation, where the blue bar is in 2010, that pink bar, 2011, the green bar, 2012, the purple bar, 2013, and the orange bar, the 30-year average. And summarizing across the 4 years, if you look on the right, the total growing season precipitation, 2010 was basically average, very close to our long-term average in terms of growing season precipitation. Whereas 2011 and 2013 were wetter than average, and 2012 was quite a bit drier than average. And in addition, if you look at 2012 it was a warmer than average year. So 2011 was, or 2010 was basically an average year weather-wise. 2011, 2013, much wetter than average, particularly during May. And 2012 was when the water deficit really occurred. It was drier and it was warmer. So what did we find out? Well, you can see in terms of residue coverage across the study, it ranged from about 15% under clean till or conventional till to almost 90% under no-till. And this, I should say that the barley followed corn in this study. Barley followed corn. Okay. Soil water content, not too surprisingly, was greater under no-till than it was under reduced till and conventional or clean till. We were unable to detect any tillage system by cultivar interaction for wheat, or that should be barley plant density. Unlike in the past when we did look at wheat, we were able to detect an impact of tillage on barley or on wheat cultivar density, but not in this case. So no interaction and no impact of tillage system on barley plant density. Likewise, we were unable to detect any tillage system by barley cultivar interaction for spike emergence, for spike density, or for grain yield, except in the year 2012. That year, you can see as you look across the three tillage systems indicated along the x-axis, conventional till, reduced till, and no-till, you can see some jockeying among the cultivars as you move across those three tillage systems. However, I'd like to point out that there were clear winners. Stellar ND and Pinnacle produced grain yields that were equal or greater than all other cultivars included in the study, regardless of tillage system. Okay. Likewise, Conlin was basically the dog. It produced a yield that was consistently lower. So even though an interaction was detected, there were clear winners and a clear loser, regardless of tillage system. And that's going to kind of be a recurring theme. Okay. Now let's take a look at how the cultivars responded individually across those three tillage systems. In 4 of 6 of the cultivars, tillage system had no impact on yield. However, in the case of Conrad and Pinnacle, as you can see, there was a clear increase in yield as you move from conventional till to no-till. Well, why is that the case? Well, it actually makes quite a bit of sense. Those two cultivars are later maturing cultivars. Okay. Now go back to the weather data. Remember, 2012 was a drier than average year and warmer than average. Also, I told you that under no-till, soil water was conserved. So in 2012, what happened as we moved out of winter and moved into spring, we actually had quite a lot of snow during 2011 and 2012. So soil water conditions were in pretty good shape at the beginning of the season. But as the season progressed, it got drier and drier. Those later maturing cultivars were really at an advantage, and as a result, they responded quite well. Okay. Now, in terms of grain protein concentration, we were able to detect a tillage system by cultivar interaction across the 4 years of the study. However, once again, there were cultivars that consistently produced high grain protein, which you would want if it was for feed. You wouldn't want that for malt. Okay. In this case, it was Lacey and Tradition consistently produced a grain protein at high levels, regardless of tillage system. And conversely, and you can see it here, Pinnacle produced, on the other hand, grain that had a protein concentration that was consistently lower than the others, regardless of tillage system. So once again, there were consistent winners and losers, even though an interaction was detected. Let's take a look at test weight. Again, some jockeying, but once again, if you're after grain producing or grain with a heavy test weight, Conlin consistently produced grain with a heavy test weight. So even though an interaction was detected, there was a clear winner. And if you, I don't have those data up here, but in terms of plump kernel percentage, we were unable to detect an interaction. So, in conclusion, for many of the parameters that we considered, with the exception of grain quality, we were unable to detect a tillage system by cultivar interaction. The one exception was for yield, where we were able to detect an interaction in 2012 only. And if you remember, when we looked at those data, actually there were clear winners and losers. So the fact that there was an interaction present was a little deceptive. If we looked at grain protein concentration and test, where we were able to detect interaction across the 4 years, once again there was a clear winner, at least one, oftentimes more than one clear winner, and a loser. We were unable to detect an interaction in terms of plump kernel percentage. So the bottom line is, and this is very pleasing to our breeders, we didn't find any evidence that you need to move cultivar selection and recommendations from conventional till to no-till or vice versa. You can have and establish those studies in one of those tillage systems, and results apply across the other tillage systems. So that's what I've got. If there are any questions, I think I may have a minute.
We've got time for questions.
Jay. Yes, I didn't. Actually, if you haven't published an agronomy journal, submit a paper. They're a lot faster than they used to be. So, and the paper has been published in an agronomy journal. And yes, the question was, it looked like as you move from conventional till to no-till that the grain protein concentration declined. And that's true. We did find that. Yes. It's getting less under no-till, but I don't know. I mean, we found that very consistently, and we managed based on whole plots, so it wasn't the fact that we were applying any less in. And these are plots that are 20 years old, so we have found that in some of the other studies at Dickinson. There's a drag, and it's not always because of dilution. There's sometimes a drag.
Right.
So. Yeah, it's good for malting, right. That's one of the things that came out of this. If you're a maltster, it can be pretty attractive. Yep. Yes.
I'm just wondering, is it due to more moisture retention in the no-till?
What's that?
If there was more moisture retention under no-tillage,
yes,
then that may have resulted in the lower protein, because if you have dry conditions, protein tends to go up. Would that be the reason?
The question comment was, if there's greater moisture under no-till in a drier year, could that possibly explain it? Well, possibly it could, if the yields were higher under no-till. Yeah, it could. Yes?
I wonder, a quick point on that. In Northern Idaho, based on our variety, our nutrient recommendations, under no-till conditions, more of that nitrogen stays tied up in the straw and is not released back into the soil. So that's maybe part of what I'm going to do.
Sounds good, and there's your answer, Jay. So. Any other questions? These are getting progressively harder, so I'm gonna use the excuse that I got to get back to the session I'm presiding, so I can get out of these. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt.
You bet.